Hi, it's Patrick from intensivecareathome.com.au, where we help long-term ventilated adults and children with tracheostomy and their families to improve their quality of life, and where we also help hospitals and intensive care units to save money and resources whilst providing quality care. In this week's blog, I want to talk about transitioning long-term ventilated adults and children out of intensive care, making it happen with the latest guidelines. In last week's blog, I was talking about why services for long-term ventilated adults and children with tracheostomy outside of intensive care in the community are becoming a vital necessity. If you haven't read it, click on the link below. In this week's blog, I want to talk about the perceived barriers that keep too many long-term ventilated adults and children with tracheostomy in intensive care, and I also want to look at the guidelines of successful programs from overseas that can be easily adapted to the Australian healthcare system and therefore either eliminate or work around some of those unnecessary barriers. More importantly, it gives ventilator-dependent adults and children and their families the care, the skills, and the nurturing they need. Care of patients receiving mechanical home ventilation is increasing across all countries all over the world. However, different perceived barriers are standing in the way to actually transition clients back into their home safely. Let's quickly look at some of those perceived barriers, to then quickly look at guidelines that can easily eliminate those perceived barriers. Number one, lack of communication and the lack of documented care maps. Perceived issues regarding clinical and operational governance. Number three, clinicians may lack experience or feel uncomfortable engaging in conversations about treatment options or palliative care for long-term ventilated adults and children with tracheostomy stuck in intensive care. Clinicians also may lack decisional authority if decisions are required at unexpected time points, or are required because of clients and their families wanting a different level of care in a home care environment. Number four, ethical challenges may arise. Lack of agreement on who should receive treatment and timing of end-of-life discussions. Rationalization of ICU care may be an issue as well. Number five, definition of transition points, as well as positioning of individual patients on the transition continuum, as described above, may not be clearly communicated across teams and specialties. Number six, often a lack of perceived options for long-term ventilated adults and children with tracheostomy outside of the intensive care is an issue as well. Number seven, furthermore, we also need to finally admit and come to terms with that keeping a long-term ventilated adult or child in intensive care for months is far too resource intensive, and again, doesn't provide the client and the family with the quality of life they could be having at home, and occupying a bed in intensive care long term is only adding on to already long hospital waiting lists. So how can we overcome those perceived barriers and create something that creates a win-win situation for long-term ventilated adults and children with tracheostomy and their families, for hospitals and intensive care units, and also for health funding agencies such as the Department of Health and private health insurances? The answer to this particular and important question is to establish guidelines. Those guidelines do already exist in countries where intensive home care services have been successfully operating since the late 1990s, and a lot of ground has been gained in those countries already by developing successful models of intensive home care nursing. Germany, for example, has developed guidelines that are current, and they have also proven to work in a home care environment. I have personally worked in the intensive home care niche in Germany from 2001 to 2003, almost in the pioneering days in hindsight. I have attached those guidelines for mechanical home ventilation in a PDF in this email. The main solutions to some of the perceived issues are addressed in the document as follows. You can read on page 643, 3.3, launching home mechanical ventilation. On the same page you can see point 4, establishing home mechanical ventilation. On the same page, point 4.1, prerequisites for discharge from hospitals. On page 644, 4.2, out of hospital care team. 4.3, assistive and professional care. 4.4, management of the transition phase. 4.5, surveillance and documentation of home mechanical ventilation. And 4.6, equipment providers. You can also have a look on our website and follow this link, and you can have a look at the guidelines there. Guidelines for mechanical home ventilation. I also know that all of those guidelines are adhered to by intensive care at home service model, as documented in our quality manual, and those guidelines are therefore easily adoptable to the Australian healthcare system. What are your thoughts on those guidelines? Leave your comments and views on our blog. If you are a health professional in intensive care and you think you know a long-term ventilated adult or child with tracheostomy and their family who would like to improve their quality of life in their own home rather than in intensive care, even if it's to go home for a few days, and if your organization would also like to save money and resources along the way, or if you simply have any questions, send me an email to patrick@intensivecareathome.com.au or simply send me an email. This is Patrick Hutzel from intensivecareathome.com.au, and I'll see you again in another update next.